Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Ro, and Raph on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? Hey! Raindrops, drop top, smoking, no cooking, no Marks and Smarks. This is the Smart Gilas Filipinos podcast. We came from nothing to something, nigga.
Hey! I don't try nobody, grip the trick, nobody. Call up. You're now listening to the longest running Filipino.
Weekly Filipino
God,
wrestling!
I was able to do that before. Welp.
Welp!
This is the Smart Gilas Filipinos podcast without Stan C, who is in La La Land right now.
La la la.
Well, Caveman Canvas to my left. And to Indy my the dog right. Under the table. Us. In between us.
And to my right, Rois War.
Yes, at Rois War.
We're getting social media out of the way so we don't have to do that ever again. At the SGP podcast.
Yes.
We're not going to mention it for the rest of the show.
Yeah. Last week we had MDJ, and now it's just the two of us and a dog. So that's kind of a downgrade, isn't it?
Or an upgrade. Sometimes.
No, it's a downgrade. No,
for some people, it is an upgrade.
No, it's just me and you, and I'm stuck with you, so it's a downgrade.
Ouch.
Yes, it is.
But my dog.
Yeah, but your dog's always been here for the past, what, 3 weeks? So, you literally...
Wait, it has been 3 weeks at Casa de Camus. Or...
Yeah, pretty much.
By Camus, if you want to go that way.
So, it is literally a downgrade. So, yes, welcome to the SGP podcast this week. We are fresh off Fastlane and a bunch of other shows.
So many other shows.
And a bunch of other stuff, too. Let's start with the bullshit that's happening around the country right now, in our country.
Our Congress.
God damn. No, to be fair, our lower house, our House of Representatives, has passed the death penalty bill relating to drug-related offenses at the moment.
Only.
On the third reading, that was way too early, by the way.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. This is technically, on a technicality, shouldn't have happened.
Yes. And if it ever passes, then it's going to get challenged in court.
Yep.
You can do that.
Because this is so fucking illegal.
Not even illegal, pero... Well, yes.
Yes, it is
against,
illegal.
It is against the very constitution, so yes, it is illegal.
So there's that, and there is the 215, I think, is the final count.
I believe so, yes.
215 congressmen who are pieces of shit.
Well,
all 215
Let us play the devil's advocate for a little while. Pero, you know, it all goes back to them being pieces of shit. It's a political move, if I may, if you can say that.
It is.
It's... there is a Frank Underwood thing going on here where...
That people want their funding.
No, yeah, true, yes.
There's that.
There is some bullying going on that if you don't vote for this, then, you know, the majority, the Speaker of the House, will screw you over. So, yeah.
Because they can.
So, that is why... that's pretty much why some people who you didn't expect to vote yes voted yes. But at the same time, then, on the other side of the coin... It doesn't matter at this point because at this particular issue, you're fighting for the very core principles of life and death, right? And how you approach them as a human being. So even if there are politics on the line, there is political clout and, you know, political capital on the line, it shouldn't matter as much that. You know, the majority is about to kick your ass if you don't vote the same way they do.
Because this is not... This is not some environmental bill. This is not something that should be funded. This is not a special pet project of the president.
It is, kind of, in a way.
Well, I was going to say, it's not like some small pet project where you can just say, oh, we want to fund people in Davao. It's not that. It's fucking life and death itself.
Yes.
I
think...
ability.
It's easy for me to say because I am not a congressman. I'm not a senator even. I'm not the one representing a whole group of people in the Congress where, you know, where laws are actually made and get passed. But at the same time, I think it's much more viable in a public relations context to just fuck it and just vote however you want to vote. Like,
Because it helps. It does help. Shows it shows that you have morals.
But you can show that you have morals just by saying that you're against it. But it shows, most of all, that you have a spine.
Yes.
Right? You have a backbone. It doesn't matter what your constituents think. For example, Bataan Congressman Geraldine Roman, who voted yes, surprisingly, pretty much admitted to the fact that it was a compromise for political survival. And she said that it was a vote that her people wanted, her constituents wanted. And I think it's bullshit, for one. Even if you do represent constituents, you were also kind of counted on to be the voice of reason and someone who knows better. Because let's face it, these people are not going to know better. We're not going to know better. If you're there in that position, then it's up to you to make the right choices according to what you believe in.
Which most of these guys nowadays...
I think it's easier, easier said than done, but I think it's easier to martyr yourself in that position.
For the anti.
For the anti. It's easy to martyr yourself because in the end, it always comes around. It always comes around on the assholes bullying being the schoolyard bullies in the Congress.
Such is the state of our nation.
Again, it's easy for me to say this, and it's easy for anyone to say now, but you should have just voted no. And, you know, be done with it. Live and let live, right? And, you know, stand up for what you believe in. But, again, it's not black
situation.
And white. Yeah, it never is a simple situation. And
This is black and white in the face of ending lives.
Mm.
Ending lives, potentially, of 9-year-old children if they get their way.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, right? To be fair, though, it's not the end yet.
It is not the end. It is more close to the end.
It still has to go through the Senate, and obviously it has to go through the president who has to sign it, but we don't know how that's going to turn out, right?
Yep.
So what matters here is that even though it's not the end, even though it still has a huge chance of getting vetoed, this whole exercise of the lower house, of the House of Representatives, show who is willing to make a compromise and, you know, who is willing to stand up for what they believe in and compromise whatever political survival whatever political life they may have.
Y'all pieces of shit, end of the day.
No, it's not all pieces of shit. It's just really...
It's a shitty situation.
Most of them are pieces of shit. Some of them are
people
not,
without spines.
Yeah, they're just not cut out for it. They're not cut out for the
representative
demands.
Government.
You know, for being the kind of politicians we all need right now.
And it
the kind of politicians that know better, right?
Yes.
So yeah, that's enough politicking for. That's enough politicizing
that's our,
for.
That's our 5 minutes of politics this week.
7 minutes actually. That's enough politicizing for the warm up. So yeah, it's been a huge week of wrestling.
There is so much going on.
Who
in
do
Japan.
We? Where do we even start? Right?
Japan.
Do we even begin at the show that
no
was
one
just
wants
there?
It. No. We start in Japan.
Quick update, yes, on Tomaki Onma.
Honmania lives
another
he's
day.
He's not paralyzed, thank God.
He's not paralyzed after taking a rope hung DDT. Basically the same kind of DDT Randy Orton does
every
in his comeback.
But the thing is, Tomoaki Honma does have, the spinal disc?
Yeah.
Spinal disc.
Injured spinal column.
It's not a simple injury. It's something that's going to take some time for him to heal up from. But at the end of the day, he's alive. He's not a paraplegic. He's talking, and Honmania lives.
But, you know, the problem with this is it's not just a freak accident that happened to him. It's not a random DDT that went wrong that just, you know, came as a result
of
a botch.
Yeah.
It's years and years
of abuse.
Of abuse. Namely,
Kokeshi.
Yes. Exactly.
Headbutts.
I mean, this is the exact same thing, almost, that killed Chris Benoit, and, you know, pretty much ended Daniel Bryan's career. So, at this point, should Honma still even, you know...
Wrestle?
No, not wrestle, but rely on his bread and butter.
Nope. He needs to work safer.
But that's the problem, though. He does need to work safer, but he made the Kokeshi his calling card. And what is a Honma match without, you know, a bunch of times trying to hit the Kokeshi?
There are other ways to land.
No,
better ways to land, man, than on your neck.
He doesn't land on his neck.
No,
he lands
on
his forehead. That's a problem.
Which thereby whips his head.
Yeah, yeah, it compresses his head backwards. So his neck backwards. So
it's still rough.
And there's a problem here. So people who like watching NJPW, I know there are a lot of you listening out there, Stat Guy Lance. Come at us, but not come. You know, just hit us with your opinion and tell us, should Onma continue to use the Kokeshi? Should he still do this diving headbutt from the top rope to the floor outside, from, you know,
anywhere? Anywhere. Actually. Because
is this still a good idea?
There are other things naman to his offense, but this is,
because I do believe that this isn't a random accident. It never is.
It never is when you're this old and you've been going this hard and it's,
and when your match comprises of 60 or 70, 80%, 90% of a diving headbutt.
I'd say 60%.
No, not 60, no. Please tell me what other moves he does.
He has other stuff.
Sure.
He counters.
That's it. He's like Santino.
Actually, yeah. Now that you think about it, he is a glorified Santino.
Yeah, but at least, you know, he...
He gets shit done.
He's more believable in that regard.
Still keeping in Japan, this weekend... This weekend? This week. This week. Yes, because the anniversary show is on Monday. Actually saw the debut of Zack Sabre Jr. in NJPW.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We knew he was coming.
Eventually,
we didn't know where he was going, or, you know, who he was joining when he got there.
But he did beat your boy Shibata.
Yeah, he did. which is weird, because I really thought Will Ospreay was gonna be the guy to do that.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But Will Ospreay, well, his great matches with Shibata have proven to be entertaining, but I think they're gonna go. They're gonna go for a while. But all I have to say is, Zack Sabre Jr. to Suzuki-gun is a surprise to me.
Really, though? I mean, you have
I thought he was going to go to Chaos also.
I mean, you have the most number of foreigners in Suzuki-gun. I mean, other than the Bullet Club, which is...
Which is everyone, basically.
Everyone who's white.
It's true.
And the Tonga Brothers.
And Fale,
yes.
There. So, there's that. So, I mean, Zack Sabre to Suzuki-gun, I think, is their way of setting up him versus Ospreay down the line.
But they don't need that.
No, they don't need it, but then it's an obvious low-hanging fruit for them.
Oh, sure.
If they ever go, what's this called? Faction to faction.
No, but I'm happy, though, because NJPW is the best place for Zack Sabre to do his thing. We tried the WWE thing. It didn't always work. It's because, you know, WWE style isn't...
His style.
Not his style, but the environment wasn't receptive and adaptive to the kind of style, the kind of, you know, slow chain wrestling style Zack Sabre likes to do. Not even methodical. It was pretty fluid, but, you know, it just isn't the same audience. On the other hand, in NJPW, you have, you know, a guy like Shibata who can do that and then kick his ass after chaining with him, right?
And then you have so many other guys who are more than capable of going.
Look at Jack Gallagher. He had to tone down all the catch wrestling stuff.
That's true. And then now he just does that headbutt and it's beautiful.
Mm. I mean, you know, he still wrestles in, you know, in a catch style, but
it wasn't
as much as you saw when he was in the Cruiserweight Classic.
That's true.
So if I am assuming Zack Sabre couldn't adapt to that style, which is why he had to ship out to NJPW, which is fine as well. All good for us. All good.
We're going to get nice matchups out of him. And then the last thing that I want to talk about from New Japan is Tiger Mask versus Okada, which is straight out of the anime.
You have Okada and the idiot Tiger Mask.
The stupid, reckless Tiger Mask who pulls tiger bombs from the top rope.
Jesus fucking Christ. But then again, the tiger bomb is a safe move. Yes. It's a tiger suplex I'm afraid of.
Don't worry. No, not too much of that. But the thing is, it wasn't bad. For some of those people who have seen these snippets of the anime and think, well, this is pushing it too far, this Tiger Mask can actually wrestle. So give it a chance.
What do you mean this Tiger Mask can actually wrestle? Tiger Mask can actually wrestle.
Not the last one.
Which one?
Four.
Why? What's wrong with him?
He would IV.
What?
Four.
Do you not... IV. All the Tiger Masks can wrestle. What are you talking about?
No, this last
one... I mean, he's not Sayama, but...
This one, yeah, this last one was like...
But he's old, you know.
He's old. This new one, though, this W, is pretty freaking flippy. And
he's an idiot.
And he is an idiot underneath the mask.
Yes.
All I have to say is this Tiger Mask match is worth watching. Give it the 20 minutes of your time that it deserves.
So only 20 minutes?
About there.
That's interesting.
It's quite
a new solid. Japan main event. That's only 20 minutes.
Only 20 minutes. I mean, it's not the as drawn out as the other stuff that was on the card, but it made me.
But to be fair, though, you know, the small shows aren't you know super long. They're just full of weird matches that you know.
Taguchi versus Hiromu.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, but Taguchi was fun. So that's enough for stuff that isn't mainstream. Let's talk about the show that no one really wants to talk about. Fastlane.
Okay, Fastlane. I reviewed Fastlane for Smark Henry, and okay, it's not the worst ever.
There is much worse out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
WWE Network is testament.
If you watch it in a vacuum, and if you watch it without really paying, you know, without caring about
the main event.
No. Without caring about the the storylines that may or may not be there.
Yeah.
There is good wrestling.
Oh yes. There is
all around. I would say that there was no spot of bad wrestling at all. There was a lot of extra stuff that shouldn't have been there.
Cesaro. Like,
yeah, Cesaro, Jinder Mahal, which is great, you know, because I'm a fan of both guys. But that shit should have been on the pre-show, right?
That's pre-show stuff that doesn't need to be mid-show filler.
Exactly. And it just reeks of not knowing what to do with yourself now. You have to spring surprises on your audience. Like, but it's not bad. It wasn't bad at all.
It's not a bad surprise. It's just, Big Show Rusev, though.
What?
Was it necessary?
No.
They couldn't have
done it on Raw. You could have done it on Free Show. You could have done it on Raw.
Sayang oras.
It's just that they didn't know at all how to fill up that time in a way that's efficient.
Which is the crux of...
Yeah. Which is what SmackDown knows how to do. Which we'll talk about later. Yes. So it's not... Fastlane isn't a bad show. It's just really made worse by the fact that people didn't like what happened. Oh, you know, people didn't like the results.
Can you get straight into that?
yeah, sure. No. First of all, let's jump straight into the main event. If you didn't expect that, and you're like an adult over the age of 13, which is 13.
I have 13.
13. Year olds. No, that's not true. You do not have 13 year olds who are smarts.
No, not a smart, but then he'd just be like, "Well, Goldberg's gonna kill him."
Yeah. Okay. But he doesn't know why.
He doesn't know why.
Exactly. So if you didn't know this, then I don't know what to tell you, because everyone knew coming from a mile away
how this was going to end
and why it was going to happen in the first place.
Exactly.
So it's fine the way that it happened the way it did. Yeah, you can rage all you want about how Kevin Owens should not have been fed to Goldberg like that, but. If you're like on the pragmatic side, nah, you accept it because you know it's gonna happen, and there's nothing you can do to change it.
It's the inevitable fact that
you at least learn to be happy with the fact that it was written in a way that SmackDown would have written it like that.
Actually,
I will concede that SmackDown would have written it exactly like that
because there's no other way to write it.
Yeah, there's no other way to write it, but Raw, as has been proven before, would find new ways to fuck that up. And it did not.
It didn't.
Absolutely
not. Not in the case of the main event.
Yes, it did not.
Having Chris Jericho come out the second the bell rings.
Yeah, and provide distraction.
For that split second, and then spear jackhammer 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, it
that's
it,
not so bad.
It kind of makes Goldberg look terrible because he needed a distraction.
To get that win.
But at the same time, you know, he hit the finishers and you end the match just like that quick. Then it's all
good.
Doesn't
have the same surprise factor as the
first
time.
Yeah, sure. But you still look strong. So in theory, all it takes is no. But also, it kind of makes everyone else look bad because why don't you? Well, at this point, you if you're a wrestler and you watch Goldberg and the way he wins matches, you think to yourself, why don't I
just
start the match?
Finish.
Yeah, exactly. Start the match going from a finish, like one Randy Orton did.
This episode of SmackDown.
Yeah. So, parang.
Subtle callback?
No, not the man. It's just a thing he does.
Yes.
But yeah, everyone looks stupid. And all for what? A 50-year-old guy who gets gas going to the ring.
He's 50 years old now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Goddamn.
Gets gas going to the ring.
gets gas taking a bump. My God.
And so, doing the weird, you know, the shadow boxing thing when he comes out.
It's so sad. But my question is, just moving forward.
What is your question?
Moving forward. How long of a match are we going to get at Mania? Now that the Raw main event title picture is set. How long a match can we expect out of these two?
That is a good question, and I don't know, because you would expect that Brock Lesnar, after being punked twice, right?
At the Royal Rumble and
Survivor Series. You would expect him to come out with a game plan. Because now...
He knows.
I mean, the first thing you got to do is not get caught in the Spear and Jackhammer combo.
Yes.
So I'm assuming he's devising a game plan to make this longer.
In kayfabe,
I guess. So as for how long this match is going to be, I don't know. 5 minutes?
God,
I want to expect a 10-minute match.
What is there to do? That's my thing. How do they make this compelling enough for WrestleMania?
I don't know.
I'm not asking for it to be fan service.
I really do not know.
To the Goldberg fans or to Brock Lesnar fans, it's just, as wrestling fans, we deserve at least, 5-10 minutes? At the minimum?
At this point, I don't really know. It's going to end the show because, you know, main eventers got a main event.
But part-timer's going to part-time.
Yeah, but I think at this point, what are you going to do? You're gonna give all the minutes to Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt?
Well,
I mean, yes, that's obviously the thing to do if they're going to carry the actual main event portion of WrestleMania. But then
it's like...
You write yourself in a corner and make Raw look bad. I guess that's what it wants to do in its life, so yeah, nothing.
Well, at this point, Raw is just... It's a clusterfuck. We've already acknowledged that. But there are bright spots... In the cruiserweights,
yes,
that we can talk about.
The cruiserweight action in Fastlane was good. Literally, the brightest spots of the show:
Rich Swann,
Akira Tozawa, and Noam Dar, and Brian Kendrick. Good match in the kickoff. Neville versus Jack Gallagher. Great match. Jack Gallagher is an idiot as well.
That headbutt, though.
I'm still not gonna get over that. The headbutts are safe.
Yes, his headbutts are safe.
Do you know how they do them?
Yeah.
How?
You just, like, here to the back.
No.
It's not. What?
It's not that. He slaps the chest
when he goes for the head.
Mm.
Oh.
So yeah, that's the safest thing about. But he takes the weirdest bumps.
Yes, because he staggers and then the stagger to the.
No, he takes the most unsafe bumps.
That's true. He took
a snap German on his neck.
Yeah, I saw that.
He took a dragon suplex from top. I don't know, or something like that.
No. Well, something modified.
But yeah, yes, cruiserweight action, and it's only getting better because Austin Aries has finally, got himself back in the ring.
Yeah, he's off the commentary table.
I don't know, are we moving now? Yeah, are we moving from Fastlane to this or? Do we close Fastlane? What do we do here?
Well, we close Fastlane.
Fastlane, yeah.
Final thoughts on Fastlane?
It wasn't bad. It was just, as Stan said, it was just another episode of Raw that just happened to be airing on Sunday.
Ooh.
What?
Just on a quick note.
What?
Bayley beating Charlotte's streak here.
Oh.
Throwaway?
A bit, yes.
A bit, no? Especially with the way that the finish went down with Sasha.
Yep.
They're
making her look stupid.
They are. Na parang she needs Sasha.
She doesn't know she needs Sasha.
And she doesn't know she needs Sasha. And this plays into Raw a bit.
It's like James Ellsworth. She is the female James Ellsworth.
Female James Ellsworth, why? No, because they have made Bayley so bad on Raw that it is just getting to the point that even... I, as a fan of her on NXT...
Oh, I am a huge fan of Bayley. Bayley is supposed to be the next great babyface. She's supposed to be the female John Cena.
Exactly. And they're treating her like this, that it's like... It's the Mega Power setup.
Is it?
It feels like the Mega Power setup. That they're building towards that, but they're just gonna ruin it. I feel like...
Well, they already have ruined it. Yeah, what? What did you say? That they already have?
No, they've ruined Bayley, but they haven't ruined that aspect of it, that she's still champion.
What do you mean?
She's still champion. There's room, there's wiggle room for a Sasha heel turn at Mania.
Mm.
That would be nice. Because I think that this is the way that they make it up to Sasha for last year. By giving her the title this year.
Mm, pwede.
Pwede, diba? Well, let's... I think that's enough for Fast Lane. Let's talk about a bit of what went down on Raw. That Sasha actually beat Bayley in the qualifying
I don't want to talk about the women in Raw anymore.
Really?
Yes.
Well, we're getting a triple threat for WrestleMania.
So that's, no Nia?
No Nia.
That's good.
No Nia yet.
Please no.
Please no.
That's not. And say we did.
All I can say is that Charlotte standing tall at the end of the show makes sense, but I think at the end of the day, it's going to boil down to Bayley versus Sasha. It's going to be fun. That's what it's going to boil down to.
The best part of Raw, other than the cruiserweight match,
because the cruiserweight
is the opening promo between Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. And you kind of set up the Samoa Joe stable there.
Yes, you do.
But it was great, though. It was a great explainer for Kevin Owens going through this entire comedy heel shtick as champion. It's sad that it didn't happen while he was champion, but at the same time, you kind of needed
that to end before you could progress.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And this is some great stuff. Owens reestablished himself as one of the baddest heels in the game on Raw.
Yeah, and he can talk. He can talk for days. Hmm. That's the thing. And he's holding his own again. He's holding his own with Chris Jericho, who, you know, we know is one of the best promo guys ever.
I just wish that he came out in a suit like Joe. At this point, if you're going to establish the whole alliance, you might as well go all the way already.
The Evolution 3.0?
Yeah. You know, Hunter's Kids. The Hunter's Kids Club. You know? But yeah, that was... I'm hyped for Owens Jericho more than
anything else that's happening.
More, not more than anything else. Stop completing my sentences for me. More than, you know, Goldberg with Lesnar. More than the Raw Women's Championship match.
Let's see where it goes. Let's see where it goes.
Cruiserweight action, by the way.
Much better.
Austin Aries is finally back.
Thank God.
On 205 Live. Well, and I guess that's his roster call-up.
This is his roster call-up.
It is.
Yes.
The good
thing... Because he never technically graduated from NXT.
This is the
graduation. Yeah.
So, you do not know, if you haven't seen Austin Aries or if you haven't seen 205 Live, you do not know how much the show needs him. And you know how much the division needs him. Neville is setting the division on fire, and you know, as one half of the, as one of the best workers right now in the purple ring,
between the purple ropes.
Yeah, but the division needs a huge talker, and a CM Punk like character,
which they have in Austin Aries.
And if you ever compared Aries to Punk, then this is the most
apt comparison.
It's the most apt time for those comparisons because he literally has a chance to carry the whole show on his back just from his mic work alone.
It's true because technically everyone on 205 Live is sound.
Neville is the best promo guy you have on 205 Live before Aries came and got medically cleared.
Yes.
So the same reason why everyone still stands for CM Punk is the same reason why Austin Aries is going to save that division.
Do elaborate.
Hmm?
Do elaborate ever so slightly.
Because people are in love with CM Punk because of his character.
Yes.
Not necessarily because he's a good wrestler, but because he's such a dynamic character who can talk for days and engage and captivate an audience.
Okay.
I think Austin Aries isn't as good a talker as Punk, but he is built in the same mold.
The mold is similar. Aries is like two rungs below.
No, Aries is a better... I would say Aries is better and a more sound wrestler than Punk.
Yes.
He's a more complete package, but Punk is a better talker. But he is Punk light. I guess you would say Diet Punk. That's a bad thing to say because, Austin Aries is Austin Aries, but...
Yeah.
I really do think he's magnetic. I really do think he's magnetic enough to carry the division and make it all about him. if the division is ever going to, I don't know, main event Raw like the women do, it stands a better chance of doing so with Aries at the top
as their standard bearer.
Exactly. I do believe this is going to happen.
So we're in all likelihood we may get Neville versus Aries at Mania.
Yes, that is pretty much the only thing left for us to do here. So we're only 4 weeks away from WrestleMania.
And there's only so much that they can do. So, with that, Austin Aries stands to do something that we haven't seen yet.
On
205 Live. They have a guy with that much tenure in the wrestling industry, carry it, run with it, and do much better than, well, Neville has done so far.
Neville has done good things for sure, but he is the heel right now. He's a perfect foil for Aries. It's actually weird for Aries because
he's always been heel.
He's coming off as a heel. Uh-oh. And he's coming back as a face. And the good thing is they actually written his face turn well. Because at the same time, Aries is that good that he can transition just like that. The same way Punk did, was able to before.
That part just happens before your eyes, and then you wake up.
Yeah,
and you're like,
because he's good of a character, and he's that good of a talker, channeling whatever
is necessary.
Yeah, he's got that charisma,
and he likes bananas.
Yeah,
for those on the internet to get the joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
And his package
that everyone wants to see. Yes, Lance, we're looking at you.
Yes. So Austin Aries is going to be the next CM Punk for the Cruiserweight division, which they sorely need.
Okay.
Too bad. I'm sorry, TJ.
God, as much as we love you, TJ.
TJ was not on the show.
TJ was not on the show.
But he went there.
But may I know? Dark match.
That's sad. I'll watch out for a main event.
You never know. Maybe on main event.
Yeah, maybe on main event. It's kind of sad, though.
The only other thing that happened on Raw of significance is Brock Lesnar formalizing the fact that he is going after Goldberg.
What did he do to deserve the shot, right?
No,
he's been punked twice.
They agreed to the match before.
Prior to
nila. Na, I will see you at WrestleMania.
If he wins. Regardless of whether he wins or not.
I think that's really what had to come into play here. That, well, I'm going to honor that, and then boom. Shake hands, and then F5, and then let's go home. Diba?
Well,
what else do you need to do? It's obvious where we're going with this. So, SmackDown, better things?
Yes.
Better things
all the
on
way.
SmackDown.
Entire show, better things. Well, not the entire show.
But it was better.
No, absolutely.
It was better. I mean, the opening of SmackDown palang. Ang ganda.
It's good, but it was also wrong.
What was wrong?
If they're gonna go with AJ versus Shane at WrestleMania for some reason, then why is Shane the pro AJ guy?
That's true.
That doesn't make sense to me unless they explain it as, you know, AJ being mad at Shane for not doing everything in his power to
make him the guy.
Yeah, to make him the guy if he's so pro AJ, right?
Uh-oh.
But at the same time, he would have a bigger reason to get mad at Shane. If he were, you know,
if he were anti-AJ. Oh, diba. Because, like, with Daniel Bryan, you can understand why he's rooting for
Orton,
diba? Well, at this point...
But actually, it's weird for him to root for Orton because he was the guy who... So yung nakiepal sa kay Batista, diba? When he won the Royal Rumble.
If we're following continuity.
Yeah, if we're following continuity, which SmackDown does, by the way...
Then all of this makes sense. I mean, it's not that far-fetched, diba?
Well, yeah. Well, I love watching SmackDown. And I also love watching SmackDown because of things they get away with.
Like
The Miz.
On commentary. So, admittedly, this was just a warm-up match just to test the waters of John Cena and Nikki Bella. Which is nice. At least you get to see that against the throwaway.
Yeah. You actually have enough people on your roster for this kind of role, Liba.
What, Liba?
You have role players on your bench.
You have role players on your bench that fit a very specific mold, or you have created the mold for them this far in advance to have them feud temporarily. Liba? Yung ganda. But the match was a throwaway itself. But the Miz on commentary.
Yeah.
basically actually said
lighting Cena on fire.
Basically said that, oh, it's Women's Month this month. I need to boost the John Cena demographic with women to boost the John Cena brand. And I'm just like, wow, shit, wait, what? To this sell is, more merch.
This is legitimate Meltzer stuff. God, he's spouting on commentary. And I wouldn't be surprised, well, obviously, they had to go by him, but I wouldn't be surprised that Cena told him to go all in on it, which kind of makes you wonder if it's okay with him to say that stuff. Is it actually true?
Because, Jesus Christ, the guy's overexposed as is.
Who?
Cena.
No, Cena is not overexposed anymore. And, you know, he was a champion for 2 weeks.
2 weeks long,
yeah.
Not
if he were overexposed, then it would have been longer. He was literally a transitional champion. And you don't do transitional champions anymore in the modern era. And they did it with Cena, of all people.
For the 16th time, yeah, one for Rick
but
Flair.
It was a transitional championship reign. So how can you say at this point that he's overexposed? He's not.
Okay.
He's overexposed when it comes to media, yeah, outside of wrestling. But
outside media.
But because you can choose to ignore that if you're...
Total Bellas. Yeah, if you don't watch Total Bellas.
If you just want to watch wrestling and you don't want to watch Cena, you can ignore everything he's doing outside. That's and you don't have to watch the Kids' Choice Awards, right?
Even though that's going down this weekend.
Yeah. But, I don't know, it's great. It's a level of savagery that we have never seen before. Or we haven't seen in a while.
Long time. Yes,
I haven't seen it since Punk. When was the last time this happened? Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan, actually. Well, shit, man. It's fun to see because it's just so ridiculous, and then you're like, wait, shit, wait, what? He just said what?
Yeah, that was me. He just said what?
The bouncer, I mean, said that you get caught off guard on commentary.
I don't know why, but when Raw does it seems cheapy. Eh?
But here, it's like...
Let's dissect that a bit. Why does it seem cheap on Raw?
Because it's Raw.
They need
the attention.
They need the shock value.
They need the attention.
I think what SmackDown did right here is that it built up everything properly. Like, they started with... They started with Cena and Miz interacting in the Elimination Chamber, right?
Yes. And so, then they brought it backstage with the segments.
Yeah. And then they go for this. I think if it were Raw, they would go all in on the first shot.
In one episode?
Yeah, in the first interaction, something like that. I'm being biased for sure, but
we're
still.
We're always biased for SmackDown.
I'm always biased for SmackDown. I'm wearing blue right now.
Okay, just a few more things on SmackDown. The women's championship picture gets some clarity after today because there hasn't been much.
No clarity. It says Alexa Bliss versus every woman against. Available, right?
Yes.
So what does that mean? Does that mean Nikki Bella's also eligible for this?
If she wants.
Carmella's available for that.
Carmella's a viable pick.
Other than the three other women in the ring.
Who else is still up? Anyone else?
No one else.
Tamina?
Tamina is not cleared yet.
La Luchadora as Asuka?
I don't know.
That'd be fun.
Maybe it could be a space for a debut for an NXT call-up, for sure. Could be Asuka, yeah.
But at least now we know that coming to WrestleMania's SmackDown Women's Championship match, we're getting at least a multi-person match.
Yes, obviously.
No, that's why. That's the clarity there. That at least we know that it's a multi-person match. Who exactly? Not quite there.
Yeah. Oh, well. I like the way they set up that match, though. The slight turn against Mickey James is good.
Yes.
Natalya still terrible on the mic.
Yes.
Becky Lynch is alright. She has her moments.
She picks her spots.
Yeah, but sometimes it's corny. Sometimes it's really...
It's okay.
It's good enough to...
It's so bad
to root
it's
for. Yeah, so bad. Kind of sometimes so bad it's good.
Yeah. And, well, the best part of SmackDown...
Yes.
AJ Styles.
Jesus
Randy
Christ.
Orton for the first time ever. The greatest main event in SmackDown history, as per the announcers.
It is, at this point. I think I'm willing to...
It's the most
go.
Consequential.
Recency bias.
Recency bias against SmackDown Live. True.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, it's a first-time matchup that I realized we haven't gotten yet. And then it's actually... When they actually have the match, it's AJ Styles doing what AJ Styles got to do. Even with that ending, even with that ending that seems ever so slightly botched.
It wasn't botched.
And that's why, it's not. Na parang you look at it and you're like, wait, what? Diba? Napaganon tayo kanina eh. Now, there was the fake out with the, oh, he's gonna hit the RKO after a springboard something. And it's like
did someone jump too early? Did Orton jump too early? But no!
No! It's set up that way, and it's the genius of SmackDown again. And you just have to keep giving it to them. Na parang, for so many people would just be like, was that an accident? And they just pull it out.
No, it was not. It was not an accident at all.
Such a purposeful ending. It's so nice. And the pop-up RKO.
I think that finish alone, that last sequence, the springboard fake out and the actual ending sequence. That put Orton really over.
That puts Orton really over without AJ looking like a jabroni.
Hmm.
And
it just showed that, you know, AJ was clever, but at the same time, you know,
Orton is cleverer.
Orton was cleverer, but no, he wasn't clever because it doesn't take wit to roll out of the way.
It's true.
It just takes instincts and, you know, gut feel.
Viper instincts. Mm. It's things like that that make AJ's matches so good. Those ending sequences, those...
Make sense.
Those, oh my they god, they are story what just points. Happened moments. AJ is the best at that. And I think our friend on the Smart Guitas Pilipinas group, Mark Havaliana, will agree that shit like that is what makes AJ Styles number one in his book.
Yeah. I think that's an unanimous match of the night, but I don't know. We'll see what we pick.
I know what I'm picking.
Yeah. I guess you do, right?
What about you? Do you have anything from 205 Live?
Yeah, because a lot. No, not even from 205 Live. I don't have to pick 205 Live.
No, because I'm just trying to set it up.
Because the cruiserweights are killing it right now.
They are.
I
haven't seen 205 Live yet.
No, but you know, for some reason, the writing on the cruiserweight division, for the cruiserweight division, has gotten tighter since the past few weeks. It's been better ever on 205 Live.
Ever since Neville became
champion.
Yeah,
that's true, actually.
Ever since Neville became champion, it's must watch.
And then it carries over to Roy to the point that the main cruiserweight segments, the ones that aren't, you know, mindless squashes or whatever have
you. Alicia Fox.
Yeah. Segments that actually involve the championship.
Yes.
They are usually among the better segments of Raw.
Oh.
In a given week. So that's weird to me. Who's writing for them? Why is it so different?
And why is it so difficult to translate to Raw? Get whoever's doing this on Raw full time. Like, not just for those segments. Anything good on 205 Live this week?
Yes, the main event. Austin Aries back in action versus Tony Nese. I think Aries is way more inspired in this particular run than he was when he first started on NXT.
Well, now he has something.
Yeah, he's making the main roster money.
Oh, and he has something to chase.
Mm-hmm.
He has something to chase that is within reach.
No, yeah, his storyline makes sense now.
Oh.
As opposed to Raw, he was just, you know, messing around with Noe Jose. NXT. Yeah.
Na parang he was just a guy with a banana for so many weeks.
No, he was a guy with a banana in the commentary booth.
Also. No, but it started on NXT when people started asking for it on the internet.
Okay.
That's where it started. This is hilarious, I see. Though. Internet jokes. So there. That's pretty much our week in wrestling. And
right,
it's not so horrible.
Yeah, picks of the week. Let's end this with picks of the week.
AJ versus Randy.
AJ versus Randy for you. For me. I will pick Neville versus Gallagher.
Very good choices.
Mm-hmm.
Both of which you should go see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so at this point...
Yes, end the podcast show. Early.
No, we have
no,
we have
let's end it early.
I just want to spend 2 minutes to talk about PWR Mainit on March 19.
That's which also is true and necessary.
And necessary, because we love the guys of PWR.
And most, so it's quite hot.
It's quite hot.
Although it's not that hot right now.
Because we haven't actually broken the news here on the podcast that we're going to get a tag team belts.
But they already broke the...
Here on the
obviously
podcast, we haven't talked about it. We haven't talked about it here. That means the division, these tag team divisions that they've worked so hard on for the past few months, is coming to fruition. The hard work is bearing fruit.
People have been asking for a tag team championship for the longest time.
Like, ever since we were down at MCS. That's true. When DualShock and F4H were
absolutely. So, obviously, every wrestling company has to have a tag team championship, because it's weird if you don't. Like, I mean, PWR had a mid-card championship before it had a tag team championship.
Would you believe?
Which is kind of strange to me now that I think about it. But, yes, it's finally happening. Tag team championship tournament. Live on the network. Just kidding. It's happening. The brackets are insane. I don't know when they're going to be released, but I saw a preview of the brackets.
Ooh, backstage preview.
And
veteran boot camper things.
And the finals, which will be at the next show after Mainit, is going to be insane.
Well, let's see how that goes, because, well, let's get through Mainit first.
Yes.
So it is sad, though, that Redrick Mahaba and Ralph Imabayashi, or MTNH?
Yes, MTNH.
MTNH, as they are known as a tag team, will not be competing due to
very sad.
Redrick Mahaba being out of commission.
Getting his ass kicked by the Apocalypse.
It's quite sad, but this left Ralph Imabayashi up for a PHX number one contendership match against Pinoy Technico Sandata.
Mm-hmm.
A match that I really want to see.
A match that's going to be brutal and hard-hitting.
I just can't wait to see Sandata eat a Sonic Crusher.
Or several. Let's see.
In very innovative ways. I have a good feeling about this. Other matches on the card, we have Main Max versus... Who's Main Max going up against? Against John Sebastian.
John Sebastian, just yes.
John Sebastian. And then we also have... Peter Verzosa up against
the Apocalypse. Absolutely.
So they're trading partners for this, which I wonder where that leaves Jake De Leon in all of this. Well, we'll see. Should be interesting. But there you go. That's the card so far for PWR Mainit. Mainit siya.
Now, there's you forgot the Crystal Open Bootcamp.
Open Bootcamper match, which...
So you are actually eligible for this, because we are eligible for this.
I'm not taking it.
Why are you not taking it?
You deserve it more.
Why are you not taking this?
Because I'm not an opportunity-grabbing guy.
Why? It is your dream to be a wrestler. What is wrong with you?
But I have so much
further. What is wrong with you? Why would you not take this opportunity? It's right there. The last guy who took this opportunity is now the PWR champion.
He was the last bootcamp challenge?
Yes. Were there any other bootcamp challenges? No.
I think, no, there was...
There was not.
Was it the one where...
No, there was not.
There was not. This has been a long time coming.
Yeah, so why would you not take it?
I'm not ready. I know in my heart of hearts.
No, fuck that shit.
I know in my heart of hearts that I am not.
This is a woman.
Oh shit! You're saying that on international.
Yes.
Apologize to Crystal.
Yes, I'm sorry, Crystal. But no. But literally, you are twice her size, maybe even thrice.
Wow, that's mean.
It's true though. So why would you not take it though? Unless the only reason for you not to take it is if somebody knocks you out backstage before coming out.
I don't know. That's.
And I would not let that happen to me.
Because you're always backstage.
Yes, exactly. I will be ready in Gorilla.
I want to see.
When Potch announces
this thing, you're gonna be running.
No.
You're gonna be running.
No. Let me finish. When Potch announces, when Crystal's in the ring, waiting for her opponent, cuts her promo, whatever have you. Potch announces and her challenger. That's the opportunity. That is the moment. And shame on you.
Because I don't remember how this went with John Sebastian. Because I announced him the last time. I was in the ring.
Well, for one thing, John Sebastian came out to JDL's music.
That's why. So I was very confused. And I'm still confused as to how these open challenges work. Because people
run out.
And then their music just magically plays. Oh. I don't have music.
Yes, you do. Everyone has music inside their souls.
Fuck you. Fuck you, man.
So yes, boot camp challenge. Boot camp expect challenge any one of us to come out to face Crystal.
It's about time for you.
Yeah, maybe I might just. You know?
You're the veteran boot camper now.
Absolutely.
God damn it. So, well, let's see where this goes. So, for this week in wrestling, that has been the two-man show and a dog who is currently napping next to the toilet seat. He is.
Yes. All right. So, yeah. Thank you for listening to the two-man show, the downgrade. It was. I hope it wasn't that much of a mess. We tried our best to keep it together, despite the dog.
And this is more organized than our usual two-man show.
Yes, it is actually, yes. Very much organized.
There is structure. And we're talking about salient points. And yes. Politics.
And politics, absolutely.
Because we care about our nation.
Right. So please follow Caveman Camus at Caveman Camus. Follow Roe is War at Roe is War.
At underscore Stan C. You should follow his Instagram right now.
And the SGP Podcast at the SGP Podcast. And follow his Instagram, by the way.
Because it's interesting what's popping up.
We are and by the way, he is on the mission in La La Land
to find David Shoemaker.
No! He's on a mission to get TJ Perkins a special surprise gift from our friends.
Our friends?
Yes, our friends. One day, when the time is right, we will see. Maybe on his Instagram, on his Twitter. For sure.
Is he allowed to?
I'm sure he is. You know, the WWE
get
did.
Get gifts?
Yes, absolutely. He's allowed to show that, and, you know, the WWE did come by. So, you know, it's not a terrible. I don't think it's going to be something terrible for them.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, if this goes according to plan.
Siguro naman hindi bawal yun, puppy.
Well, let's see.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's going to be bawal.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, that's it for the podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sitting through Kamus and
the dog. You'll still hear through him.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming and tuning in this week. It's been a pleasure having you.
Stan is going to be back.
Eventually.
Not next week.
Not yet.
All right.
We need a guest next
week. Yes. We will be working on a guest next week. And it
because
should be fun.
It should have been this week.
It shall be fun. That's my bad.
That's my bad.
Y'all be good. Peace.
See y'all next week. Goodbye and good night.
Thank you for listening to the SGP Podcast. To get more from the voice of the modern Filipino wrestling fan, go to www.smarthenry.ph.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.